imagination is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 La Crosse operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
Have you had that lingering question you have wanted to ask a pastor, but never did? Or has someone ever asked you a tough question about God that you couldn't really answer? I am Captain Kirk, and I host the Y-Files every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. live. My co-host David and I ask guest pastors the tough questions every week. Whether you are an atheist, agnostic, a Christian, or a different religion altogether, this show is for you. Check out the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. live, or catch the replays on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and Thursdays at 6 p.m. The Y-Files. You don't want to miss it.
Lincoln, Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma, and with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
Hey there, I'm Callie.
And I'm Ashley.
And we host Notes from the Stage, KNNA LP 95.7 FM's one and only Broadway and movie musical show.
Every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll bring you the glitz and glam of Broadway musicals and Hollywood show tunes.
So tune in here to KNNA LP 95.7 FM for songs from Beauty and the Beast, Phantom of the Opera,
and Chicago, and much, much more.
And now for something completely different.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
The radio show Off on a Tangent is completely different. It's also unpredictable, inexplicable, hilarious, manic, distracted, simple, yet filled with rich layers like a yogurt before you stir the fruit together.
I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening.
Listen to Off on a Tangent broadcast live almost every Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on KNNA.
Honey, the baby is laughing instead of crying.
Of course, because she
likes listening to old Lovable Jack. And when music was music, every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. on Canon A, LP, FM 95.7.
And leave the drinking to us.
Well, if it's coffee, I'm for it. But I thought that would be cute. So I hope you, our audience, enjoyed that. This is our every Friday night dance back in time that Nancy and I call
When Music Was Music.
And we are having fun up here. Nancy's dad is up here again, and we're glad to have Al here. And it is always a pleasure. It is always an honor, especially when he's buying.
That's
okay.
Right?
You can't beat that. So, you know, we're on a roll, and, you know, he's helping us out. I am your host every Friday night here on When Music Was Music, old lovable Jack Kirk, and with me is...
Princess Nancy.
And she is a princess because we needed royalty up here, and she has been a wonderful royalty, and she is a big part of the program tonight, because tonight, for all of you, our faithful every Friday night listeners and replay listeners throughout the week, and maybe our new listeners out there who have maybe never caught the program before, this is a... Well, it's our every Friday night dance back in time to the time of when America danced her cares away in the 30s and 40s and sometimes the 20s and the 50s and whatever, a lot like we don't do so much anymore. But tonight is a special program like we did it last Friday night when I talked about the old vehicles from about 1936 to 42, right in that time frame, in just a little bit. And tonight we're going to take a look at women's fashions of the 1930s. And for our program tonight, I want to especially thank VintageDancer.com and Deb and Oscar for their assistance in researching tonight's program on women's fashions in the 1930s. And those were big band years.
Yes,
as the
whole
were. Thing started out and picked up speed into a 1939 and 40. But Vintage Dancer and Deb and Oscar, their help was invaluable for tonight's program. Now, what they do is provide links on their website, VintageDancer.com, for shoppers who are looking for period attire or costumes or and all the accoutrements that go along with it. So their descriptions and backgrounds there give people an idea of what they are looking for in a vintage period clothing and how it was worn and when it was worn. So as I've said before on When Music Was Music, I think it would be easier for someone from the 20s or 30s to come forward in time than it would be for someone from our age in time to go backward to the older times. But that said, however, Vintage Dancer is a great resource for me and or for anyone interested in trying their hand at going back in time to the time when clothing had practicality and style and class and creativity, the time that Nancy and I call When Music Was Music. And that is chiefly the 30s and 40s from roughly our program is from 1935 to 1947. And those bands of those days were dance bands. And those bands offered more active Lindy Hop style dances and slower easy foxtrot styles. There was a swing style and there was a sweet style.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song. And I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Stars were bright. You were paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it always will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Ready, Jim? Jim is on the board, and he says it's good. The microphone is live, and you were listening to a back-to-back of Stardust. And the first entry was, the first half of the back-to-back, was Tommy Dorsey, his orchestra with Frank Sinatra and the Pied Pipers on the vocal in the background. And Dorsey recorded that version of Stardust on the 11th of November, 1940, for Victor Records.
And on the other side was Les Brown with his Band of Renown. And we had Miriam Shaw on the vocals. And that was a Bluebird record, 35 cents for those of you wondering. And that was recorded on the 30th of April, 1938.
And if you could loan me 35 cents, we'll be good to go. So tell us some things about women's clothing.
Yes. In our 21st century, Americans dress for comfort just about all the time. I know I sure do. It was quite different in the 1930s. We'll look briefly at women's fashion in the big band era of the 1930s tonight, and we'll begin where it all begins, at home. Perhaps the most dramatic difference between the fashions of the 30s and the 20s was the emphasis on the slim waist. At the very beginning of the 30s, the flat, boyish, loose shape to the bodice of women's dresses is still apparent. Though the waist is beginning to return, the style is still rather boxy. By 1933, the boxy drop waist look of the 20s is completely gone. For the rest of the decade, almost every fashion sported a high natural waist accented with a belt. And belts, did you know, Jack, were usually made to match the 1930s women's dress. It was exactly of the same fabric, and they were often just attached.
It always looks nicer.
Yeah.
I've got the sun in the morning, Charlie Spivak and the Stardusters from the 21st of March, 1946. That was a transcription, a Transcription Corporation. And the Stardusters there, Jimmy Saunders, Peggy Marguerite Blanche, and Madeline McCall.
The most casual a woman dressed was at home, with just her family and visiting lady neighbors. House dresses, while basic and usually made of practical, durable cotton, followed the trends in cut and silhouette, and often displayed a variety of bold, bright prints. Most women still preferred to sew their own clothing or upcycle existing dresses into something more modern in the 1930s.
Oh, yes. I remember my grandmother doing that.
I remember my grandmother turning dresses into pillowcases.
Well, my grandmother would have probably done the reverse.
The house dress was the ideal dress to experiment with, since no one but family saw her in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't Be Blue, Little Pal, Woody Herman and his orchestra. The vocal was by Woody Herman himself. That was a Decca recording from the 21st of August in 1941. Now, Nancy, you got more stuff on Quills,
I do, right? Have more. Did you know that a 1930s housewife spent the majority of her time in house dresses? They were usually handmade with repurposed or leftover scraps from other garments, because only family would ever see her in her house dress. The styles had more color, trim, and fun elements to them.
Uh-huh.
They were also practical for housework, with pockets appearing on most house dresses. In 1937, wrap style house dresses, they were a unique house dress variation. It was a reversible house wrap dress called a hooverette. That's the first time. I did not know that.
Well, I didn't either until on Vintage Dancer, I got to research a little bit of that and looked around, and I remember my mom having a dress like that.
Oh, interesting.
So it was interesting. I never knew what it was called.
Yeah. Hooverettes were more commonly referred to as morning dresses, since the women did their housework in the morning,
yep,
and then changed out of their house dresses and put on their go-out clothes.
Yep.
And they would go out and do their shopping, visiting friends, and run other errands. And as a reversible, it was,
yes,
like having two dresses in one.
Pretty smart, huh?
It was. Very smart. Thank you.
outdoor Pullman car. Seen him here and he was on the hog. Easy riders gotta stay away, so we had to vamp it, but the hike ain't far. He's gone where the Southern cross the Yellow Dog. But the hike ain't far. He's gone where the Southern Cross the Yellow Dog.
Thomas Waller and his rhythm, better known as Fats Waller.
Ah, I've heard that name.
And they did the Yellow Dog Blues on the 26th of July, 1932, for Columbia Records. Now, we're in about the mid-30s on women's fashion tonight, aren't we?
I think so. Skirts in the 30s were generally fitted to the mid-thigh before flaring out. I guess it makes it easier to dance if you got a little flare there.
Well, I suppose it does.
Hemlines reaching the mid-calf, but clothes for work were commonly cut a bit more loosely. Though not a true A-line skirt, they often featured multiple tapering or triangular pieces for ease of movement. 1930s house dresses usually had serviceable pockets on the mid-thigh, often trimmed with lace or ruffles, while most women's dresses to be worn out of the house had no pockets at all.
None,
because they had purses, right?
Well, they did. They did. Hey, Jim? Yeah, this next tune, I just need to let everybody know. This is my friend, the late Doug Best, who gave me this tune. And I enjoy it immensely. I hope my fans do, too.
Sorry about that. You gave me the finger and then pulled it back.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. And when I say the finger, I don't mean a bad finger.
No, that's my index. My index finger.
This morning, found the blues wrapped around my room.
What did you do, Gabe?
When I woke up this bright morning, blues all around my room. Mm-hmm. I said, good morning, Mr. Blues, what you doing here so soon?
I started out to see old Lady Condon, right along my way. Oh, I started out to see Condon.
Texas, raising Tennessee. Born in Texas.
station, what old train must I ride? I asked the ticket agent, what old train must I ride? Goodbye, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, you know
he said it made no difference, just so you satisfied.
Well, I'm Mr. Wangin', cause you're playing in Carnegie Hall.
Thank you.
plays a tea garden on the trombone.
You are listening to When Music Was Music right here on FM 95.7 KNNALP, Lincoln, Nebraska. And the last selection on our program tonight was, it was an impromptu ensemble done by Eddie Condon and Jack Teagarden and Norma Teagarden and Wingy Minone and Max Kaminsky and a whole bunch of the guys who got together for that. It was a transcription recording, and I don't have any information on when that was done, because when Doug passed away, well, that ended where I could go to find out where he got the particular recording. But to be able to share it with you, I hope you enjoyed that, because that is some really, really great jazz.
And a lot of great people.
Some of the best
mean, all in
the
one.
Area. All there together, yep. and just fabulous. So we are looking at women's fashion from the 1930s, and with the help of VintageDancer.com and Deb and Oscar over there to have a lot of this information available so that we could use it and bring it to you. Thought it would be a nice feature to do for When Music Was Music, since we are looking at music from the 1930s and 1940s. But tonight, When Music Was Music, our big band program, focuses on women's fashion, and who better to talk about that than the Princess Miss Nancy.
Well, and I think it's kind of fun to sometimes talk about more than just the music. And I know you've been really good, Jack, about doing that, like during our Veterans Day shows and Memorial Day, we hear some real history.
Well, thank you.
But it's kind of nice to have a little lighter stuff also about what was going on. And
well, it's pretty light, but pretty important, what our gals were wearing.
It was very important.
Because you can bet us guys were looking.
Yeah. The birds, let's see, what were the guys, the swooners looking at the birds? I don't remember. We talked about that at a show. It's been a little while ago now. That's how good my memory is.
Yeah, well, it's still. Us guys were nails and snails and puppy dogs' tails, where you girls were sugar and spice and everything nice.
That's right.
So tell us some more about the fashion
sense. So a woman would not wear her house dress out of the house.
No.
Why it was called house dress.
Unless they were hanging laundry on the line.
Well, yes, that's probably true. When they went out to shop, run errands, attend a tea, or see a matinee, she would need a smart afternoon or day dress, often referred to as city, metropolitan, or town-tailored. These dresses were usually silk or rayon crepe, not cotton. They stuck with the standard silhouettes and classic 30s features, puffed sleeves, belted waists, and large yokes with collars. She could, of course, sew her own, but the option of ready-made, town-tailored dress was also a lot less time-consuming.
Indeed.
Now here's something the Duke describes as a galloping jump, and it's called Riff and Drill. Sure, that was a galloping jump.
Well, it was a galloping jump. Duke Ellington's announcer said so, and he made that announcement at the Club Zanzibar. That was for an Armed Forces Radio Service one-night stand program that aired the 28th of October, 1945. But the transcription itself was recorded on the 18th of October, 1945 at the club. The tune was entitled Riff and Drill. Okay, we are still looking at ladies' fashions in the 1930s.
We're going to go a little upscale now.
Oh, wow.
Silky, clinging fabrics were common in the 1930s evening gowns, often worn with fur.
Ooh.
Back when it was real fur, too, I might add.
Oh, yes.
Fabrics that were popular included chiffon, silk, crepe de chines, and satin, cut on the bias to create elegant, clingy, flowing lines. Metallic lamé, a reflective, shiny fabric, came into fashion as well.
Oh, yeah. I see them in the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
My Lovely Bride doesn't wear them.
Yeah, I love wearing evening gowns. Well, don't get to do it very often.
Nope, they're fun.
If it's true
that there's someone else as perfect, dear, as you, then some other girls in my condition too. Dreaming all the day through.
Dreams of you, if it's true.
It's called If It's True, and Alvino Ray and his orchestra, Alvino Ray on that electric guitar, and Yvonne King on the vocal, of a Bluebird record from the 14th of April, 1941.
Evening dresses had hems that very nearly touched the floor, and often had a small train in the back. Evening dresses were also fitted in the waist, slim and fitted through the hips, easing out mid-thigh or just above the knees, where they flared elegantly to the floor. There were gowns with puffs and ruffle sleeves, and later in the decade, high necks and halter styles with plunging backs were in fashion. The backless gown is a signature of 1930s evening wear. Nearly all modern formal gowns have their stylish roots back to the 1930s.
And if you want to get a good picture of what that looked like, what that kind of a dress looked like, watch an old 1930s Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie, especially when Astaire was wearing white tie and tails. Ginger Rogers will be dressed just like you described her.
And they'll be dancing beautifully.
Beautifully.
You better bounce. When you get on the Jersey side, you gotta bounce. When you hear that rhythm ride,
they call it that Jersey bounce. A rhythm that really counts. The temperature always mounts.
Oh, wherever they play the funny rhythm they play.
It started on Journal Square, and somebody heard it there. They put it right on the air, and now you hear it everywhere.
Uptown gave it new licks. Downtown added some tricks. No town makes it sound the same as where it came from.
So if you don't feel so hard, go out to some Jersey spot. And whether you're hip or not, the Jersey bounce will make you swing.
Now get in the groove and start it to move bounce all around. You know you've hit the solid groove when the rhythm gets low down. If you sway and swoon to Blueberry Room, hot, hot, hey, cap, Callaway, hip, hip.
Are you hip to the jive, boy?
Let's bounce.
Bounce.
They call it that Jersey bounce. A rhythm that really counts. The temperature always mounts. Wherever they play the funny rhythm they play. It started on Journal Square, and somebody heard it there. They put it right on the air, and now you hear it everywhere.
Folks uptown gave it solid new licks.
Downtown added some tricks, and no town makes it sound the same as where it came from. If you don't feel so very hot, go out to some Jersey spot. Whether you have or not, give it everything you've got. Let's jump it a while. We can tell by your smile that you can bounce.
One of the swinginest all-male vocal groups of those years and many years after, by the way, the Delta Rhythm Boys, and they made Jersey Bounce in 1944. So, Nancy, we have more women's fashion from the 1930s.
We do. While rebellious women began wearing pants in earlier decades, in the 1930s there were several social situations that were acceptable to wear pants in public. Beach pajamas, one-piece jumpers with very wide leg pants, belted or fitted high waists, and slightly more blousy than most 1930s fashion tops, became popular for a day at the beach or a relaxing day at home. Sportswear for tennis, hiking, picnics, skiing, and even just watching sports featured pants and even shorts. The sailor-inspired two-piece sailor midi was a common sportswear outfit in the 1930s.
Yes, they were. And you kind of take a breath when you hear shorts in the 1930s.
Sugar pie, I live in anticipation.
of the day. You may be my consolation. Life with you would be worth waiting patiently for. Sugar pie, it's you that I adore.
Well, it's called Sugar Pie, of course, and Miss Ella Fitzgerald told us about it with the Chick Webb Orchestra on the Decca record from the 2nd of March in 1939. Well, we are reviewing, Nancy's doing most of the reviewing tonight, and I just add a couple of comments here and there about women's fashion of the 1930s, and that was a big band time because the early 30s bled into the swing era starting on about 1935 when music began to really change, and that's why we're looking at women's clothing of that time. It's just a part of that time that Nancy and I call when music was music, and it's just kind of fun to think about these things and talk about them and remember those times of the past, especially if you live them or can remember them,
right?
like your dad would, and I remember my my mother and grandmother wearing things similar to this, although not the evening gowns, because mm-hmm. that, you know, we had, mom and dad had kids, but we enjoyed all of those kind of things, you know, the house dresses and the, you know, things that how the ladies dressed to go out into the community. And for a lot of the information tonight and being able to put it into some kind of a reasonable form, a great debt of gratitude goes to vintagedancer.com and Deb and Oscar there for their assistance in researching tonight's program and helping me out with all of this. Their help has just been absolutely invaluable. And they were kind enough to let us use their research for the program tonight. So I just can't thank you enough. And vintagedancer.com does a lot of good things out there with vintage costuming and getting in touch with vintage clothing. You're listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
KNNA LP 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
This is when music was music, bringing you the great sounds of the big band era on FM 95.7, KNNALP, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting. When traveling at 55 miles per hour, that's enough time to cover the length of a football field blindfolded. Put down the phone. Don't text and drive.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community, visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
Hey, old lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us and just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Tired of hearing depressing news? Can't wait for that day the cable company only charges you for the channels you want? Do you wish the lawn would mow itself? What about a cure-all for all of this? Well, off on a tangent, doesn't offer that. However, we do offer lighthearted radio and alternative music for your enjoyment. Every Saturday night at 7 p.m., Adam, Eric, David, and Captain Kirk get together and discuss topics that go off on a tangent. Have some fun, listen to great music, and listen for the chance we can poke fun at Pastor Poppy. Off on a Tangent live at 7 p.m. Saturdays.
Listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1. Right here on KNNALP, FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
5678.
Howdy, y'all. This is Ashley.
And this is Callie. We're the host of Notes from the Stage, and we're here every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m. on KNNALP 95.7 FM.
We love show tunes from musicals so much that we've decided to share just a few of them with you, like Lion King, Chicago.
Ooh.
What?
Well, don't forget about Wicked, too.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we're pretty sure it's going to be the bee's knees. So come join us right here on KNNALP 95.7 FM every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m.
The LP in KNNALP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Well, we're back to When Music Was Music, our every Friday night dance back in time to the big band era, when America danced her cares away, and Nancy and I call it the time when music was music, and she and I have been hosting this program for a while, and we just compliment each other marvelously. This evening, we're going to abbreviate our after-the-hour spots just a little bit because we've been talking, hopefully interestingly enough to our listeners, about women's fashion in the 1930s, which was right there into that swing era time frame. And we've talked about day dresses at home, and we've talked about the going out dress in the afternoon that you would wear after you did all your chores and your house dress. And then you would go out, put on your day dress, and go out and do your shopping and run your errands before you came home. And we were at evening gowns.
We were.
And I don't know after that. We're not going to, I don't know. Are you going to talk about shoes tonight? I don't think so. We covered just dresses, didn't
I think
we?
So. I don't think I have shoes.
Okay. We'll have to do
it. I might have a little bit of shoes.
We'll have to do something about shoes.
But next, days. I think we're going to talk about women's winter coats.
Oh, well, since winter is coming up here, I mean, it's within a couple of days, right?
Don't talk about that. I'm not ready for winter. I'm ready for a nice long fall. So women's winter coats were long with a nipped high waist, full shoulders, wide lapels, or oversized collars, and made entirely of wool. Many had large detachable fur collars.
The real fur collars. Again.
Yes, real fur collars. Most coats buttoned up the front to off-center, and some also had matching belts. Colors were rich but cheerful, green, medium blue, wine, brown, and cream. In the spring, women's coats were often sold as a set with two-piece suits. They were a few inches shorter than the dress, made of lighter wool, and worn open with no buttons. They still had wide lapels and large fur collars.
So it was kind of like a top coat.
Kind of, yes.
Like a gentleman's top coat.
Yep. Raincoats mimicked the shape of fashion coats. The trench